Many times in the Bible, God instructs us that living of the Christian life is not to be a show for others. It's to be a private thing between us and God. Prayer is one of those things, and I know we have public prayers, and they're good, and I like to hear people pray, but most of our prayer should be done in private. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And again, God's not against public prayers. I think he's honored by the prayers that we offer when we get together and worship together. But most of our praying should be done ourselves, by ourselves, with God in our prayer closets. Fasting is another thing that should be a thing that's not made public, but is a private thing between us and God. Jesus said again in that same chapter in Matthew, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." If you're going to fast, don't make it a public thing. God says, I want you to do it. It's just between you and me. I will see it, and I will reward thee openly. In that same chapter, Jesus talks about giving alms and helping the poor. Same thing. "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." If you're going to give and help poor, don't do it to get the praise of men. Jesus said that if you do it to get the praise of men, you're going to get the praise of men, and that will be your reward. And I don't know about you, I'd rather have the reward of God than the reward of men. I'd rather have the rewards that God has for me, and so we need to do things the way that God says to do it. And so he says in prayer and fasting and giving of alms, that it's just between you and me. It's between us. Don't do them to be seen of men. Do them secretly. And God says, I'll see them in secret, and I'll reward thee openly. But there are some things that God wants us to do in front of others. One of the things that he says, I want you to do very publicly, I want you to let it be known unto men, is mentioned in one of the verses that we read a moment ago from Philippians chapter 4, and it's verse 5, where it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And the Lord gives us the reason: the Lord is at hand. He's saying a lot of things just between you and me. I want you to do them where nobody can see them. I want you to do them just between us. And again, I'll see them in secret, and I'll reward thee openly. But there are some things that I want you to let others see. In fact, he says in this verse, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." I want you to make a big deal of it, is what God is saying. I want others to notice what you're doing, because the Lord is at hand. What God is saying through the Apostle Paul is the coming of Christ is soon. He's coming back soon, and I believe that he is. I believe his coming is nearer than it's ever been in the history of mankind, and I think he's coming soon. I'm not setting a date. We're not to set dates. Only the Father knows, but his coming is soon, and therefore, because his coming is soon, we need to let our moderation be known unto all men. Now, that word moderation that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, is used only one time in the Bible. It's the only verse in the Bible that this particular Greek word is used. It's a Greek word, epieikel. E-P, E-E-I-K-O, E-P-I-K-O. And that word is a combination of two Greek words. The first word is epi, E-P-E-E. And what that word means, it means to superimpose order on the chaos of time, a place, or superimposition of order on time and place. And so that word, again, in the Greek means that I put order to time. That time without order is chaos, and that if I'm going to let my moderation be known to all men, I need to take the chaos of unstructured time and I need to put order to it by making appointments. Can you imagine if you tried to go to the doctor or the dentist and they didn't make appointments? Everybody just showed up when they wanted to show up. I mean, it would be chaos. There would be times that nobody would be there and the doctor would have nothing to do. And there would be other times where scores of people would come. And depending on if he, you know, if first come, first serve, you may be waiting hours. You say, I wait hours when I have an appointment. I know. But just think of how bad it would be if you didn't make appointments. And again, that's what that Greek word means, to bring order to things. Bring order, for example, to time. Bring order to places. Can you imagine going to a parking lot that didn't have lines on it? Can you imagine going to a place that didn't have borders? And again, that's what the Greek word means, to bring structure to a place that doesn't have structure. Same thing. It means doing things in the, bringing structure to things that need to be done in the proper order. If you're going to do step one, step two, and step three, and step two has to come after step one, and step three has to come after step two, chaos would be if you tried to do step three first. Men are notorious for this. We don't like to read instructions. We just sort of look at the picture and say, well, I can put this together. Many times I've had to, I was putting it together, and many times I had to finally go back and read the instructions and say, oh, you're supposed to do this first. No wonder it doesn't fit. And so that's what this Greek word means. It means to take the chaos of either time or a place or the order of things and put discipline to it, put structure to it, put it all together. So add boundaries, add appointments, add schedule. And then the other part of that word, epi-iko. Iko is a Greek word that means I yield or give myself to it. And so let your moderation be known to all men. So I think I take something that's in chaos, I add structure to it, and then I yield myself to that structure. And God says, that's what you need to let everybody see. That's what you need to let everybody know about. You see, we use the word moderation in a little bit different way. We use the word moderation is that I'm not going to do very much of anything. If I use moderation in when I go to a restaurant and eat, it means I eat lightly. It means I do it in moderation. I don't stuff myself. I don't eat as much as I can hold. I use moderation. Same thing when if I'm watching TV, I do it in moderation. I don't watch TV from morning till night. I don't do that anyway because there's not much worth on watching from morning to night. But sometimes they have these marathons of these old shows, and I'm tempted to spend the day watching. Don't hit him, Chung. I mean, I don't. Yeah, her. But anyhow, we use that word moderation to mean something different. But what the Lord's saying is, it's taking something that's unstructured, that exists in chaos, adding structure to it, and then yielding myself to that structure, yielding myself to those boundaries that I have set up. Now, in a minute, I'm going to give you some examples of some things that we need to add structure to and yield ourselves to. But let me just deal with the question first. Why would God tell us to do that in a very public way? He tells us when we pray, do it in private. When we fast, do it in private. And when we give alms and help the poor, do it in private. But when you take something that's in chaos and add order to it and yield yourself to that structure that you put on it, I want you to let everybody see it. I want you to make it known to all men. Well, I think there's a couple, three reasons why he tells us to do that. First of all, it'll keep us out of trouble. It'll keep us out of trouble as we yield ourselves to that structure that we've set up. The world is changing. The world is getting more wicked. The world is trying to change the standards that we know. I was talking to somebody on Friday, and we were talking about a certain thing that has changed. And this person made the comment, yes, if my grandmother were alive today, she would not be happy with how the standard of this thing has changed. And that's true. The world has changed. And the standards have changed. And if we yield ourselves to the structure that we bring to a certain situation, we won't change with the world. We'll stay firm to what we've yielded ourselves to, the structures, the boundaries that we've set up. For example, just give you one example. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in one of the things that we need to add structure to. The world's motto today seems to be, whatever you want, buy it. If you don't have the cash to buy it, just charge it. It doesn't matter how far you go in debt. It doesn't matter if you have no idea how you're going to repay the debt. We've done this as a nation. Individuals do this. That's why bankruptcy courts are so full. That's why they have special programs for people that do this. But the world says, don't worry about how you're going to pay for it. Just put it on your credit card. And if you run out of your credit limit on that credit card, get another credit card. And if you run out of credit on that one, get another one and get another one and get another one. That's what the world says. God says, no, that's chaos. Chaos is, in that situation, is having no boundary, having no structure. God says, I want you to let your moderation be known to all men. Put some boundaries on yourself. Don't spend more money than you got. If you don't know how you're going to pay for it, don't buy it. If you don't know how you're going to pay for it, don't spend the money. God says, establish a budget and stick to it. And so it'll keep us out of trouble. It'll help us be everything that God wants us to be. Because if we set boundaries, for example, in our time, if we set boundaries in our time, look, if we don't have schedules, if we just wing it every day of our life, you're not going to get done, I'm not going to get done what God wants us to do. Some of the things God wants us to do, we're only going to do if we set up a schedule and yield ourselves to that schedule. So he says, the Lord's at hand. I have some stuff I need for you to do before I come back. And the only way you're going to get that done is to let your moderation be known unto all men. Take the chaos of time that would exist if you don't have a schedule and put discipline to it and live by that schedule. Third reason, I think, is that the world's looking for people that do have some boundaries, that do have some standards, and that live by those boundaries and live by those standards. We read in that in verses 6 and 7, and I think it goes along with verse 5. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Everything that comes into your life, pray about it with supplication and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, we will have. Now again, I think that comes from prayer. It certainly comes from prayer, being able to go to God and ask about anything and ask Him to help us. But I think it also comes by living within the boundaries and letting our moderation show to other people. That's how the peace of God comes. Amen. How are you going to have the peace of God if it's going to take you 180 years to pay back your debts? How are you going to have the peace of God if you don't have a schedule for how you're going to spend the time during the day? And by the way, if you don't have a schedule, I guarantee you Satan is going to yank your chain. He will bring things into your life that you think have to be done. And unless you have a schedule, you won't read your Bible, you won't pray, you won't do the thing. How are you going to have the peace of God if you don't have a schedule to live by? The peace of God, yes, it comes by prayer. It comes by knowing that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that cares about us, that invites us to boldly come before the throne of grace and make our requests known. But the peace of God comes by living a life of moderation, of bringing order to chaos, and yielding ourselves to that order. Now, I'm going to mention some things tonight. You're going to say, oh, here we go again. This is all you talk about, preacher. I wish you would talk about something else. Well, when you get it, I'll talk about something else. No, I'm teasing. I shouldn't have said that. You get it. But even though we get it, we need to be reminded. Even though we get it, I need to be reminded. There are some things that we just need to let our moderation be known unto all men. Here's the first one. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the best and final authority on any question or issue of life. We live in a world where there's a Bible, a new Bible coming out every week. A new Bible coming, they publish it. Every other Bible that comes out is copyrighted. It comes out because they want your money. King James Bible is the only one that's not copyrighted. You can use it, you can copy it, you can do anything you want with it. But I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe, and I'm not talking about the Bible of the Week Club. I'm talking about the King James Bible, the 1611 King James Bible. For I believe the originals were inspired or dictated by God. Moses didn't decide what he was going to write in the first five books of the Bible. God did and told Moses what to write. Paul didn't decide what he was going to write as he wrote most of the New Testament. God did, and he told Paul what to write. And the same thing is true about every book in the Bible. And so the originals were inspired by God. I believe the King James Bible was preserved by God. I believe God was in the translation of it. And so the chaos that exists from the Bible of the Week Club to me is not going to be chaos, because I'm going to set a boundary. I'm going to set a discipline to that chaos, and I'm going to set, and my position is, this is the book that I'm going to use. This is the book that I'm going to read. And I don't care how much other people change it, I am not going to cross the line. I'm going to stick with this book. When this book says that Jesus was virgin born, I don't care what other translations say. I don't care what other people say. I'm sticking to this boundary that I've set for myself, that God has set for me, that Jesus Christ was virgin born. He was born of a virgin. When the Bible says that the only way to get to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ, I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not going to get into the sect, the false religion that says you can get to heaven by being good, or you can get to heaven by joining the church, or you can get to heaven by getting baptized. I think all those things are fine and they're good. We ought to live a good life. We ought to join a church. We ought to get baptized. But getting baptized, joining the church, living a good life has nothing to do with us getting to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And so now we got people creating chaos. They're writing, they're putting together song books. They've taken blood out of the songs. Taken blood out of the songs. They're writing Bibles and taking blood out of the Bible. Chaos it's creating. I'm not going to get caught up in that chaos. I'm going to set structure and say, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. You can't take the blood out of the Bible. You take the blood out of the Bible, you got no gospel left. The Bible says life starts at conception. It doesn't start when a baby is born into this world. It starts when that life is conceived. we've come a long way since Roe versus Wade, but it doesn't say, change what that book says. Abortion is murder. Those that commit abortion are murderers. Life begins at conception. The Bible says, you know where I'm going next. If you don't like it, get up and leave. The Bible says, it's wicked for a man to lie with a man, and it's wicked for a woman to lie with a woman. And it doesn't matter what the courts say. It doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what culture says. That just creates chaos. I heard yesterday that the lawyers are starting to talk now. What's going to happen when a gay couple that have been married, what's going to happen when they want to get divorced? The law has only, you know, been around for a short time, so they've only been married for a year. But they've lived together for 10. So what are they going to do when they get divorced? Are they only going to look at to settle up the property? Look at the property that they accumulated the last year? Are they going to look at the property that was accumulated the last 10 years? Chaos! Because man has not drawn any boundaries. They've not stuck with this book. I'm going to stick with the book, and I don't care. Well,
amen.
Listen. They're talking about now. I mentioned this before. I've been reading about it. They're talking about now. If a church refuses to marry gay couples, they're going to take their tax exemption away from them. And church insurance companies are saying if a church is sued because they won't perform a gay marriage, that the insurance policy, which covers us, we have an insurance policy, for example, if I give bad advice in my counseling, we're covered if somebody sues us. But if a gay couple sues us because we refuse to perform a gay marriage, the insurance company says, hey, you're on your own. Not going to help you. And again, there'll probably come a time when they will take preachers that refuse to perform gay marriages and throw them in jail because it's a hate crime. It's a hate crime. Now look, if I get thrown in jail, I want you to meet and pray. I want to be like Peter. When the church prayed, God sprung him from jail. Sent an angel. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the best and final authority on any question or issue in life. Not going to move. If I move, it's going to be chaos. If you move, it's going to be chaos. How can we have the peace of God in our life if we don't live by the standard that God has given us?
Amen.
Number two, here's the second thing that I'm not going to let chaos come into my life. When church time comes, I'm going to be at church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Again, if you don't add structure to this issue, you're going to have chaos. Why will you miss church? Why will you miss church? Some churches have called off Sunday night services. Some churches have called off Wednesday night services. Some churches have called off Sunday school. A lot of churches, all they have is a Sunday morning service. I know a church down in Taylor, where my mom lives. I have a friend that goes there. And I talk to him every now and then. He says, Daryl, we only have service on Sunday morning. We don't have Sunday school anymore. We don't have Sunday night church. We don't have Wednesday night church. One service Sunday morning. I asked him, I said, have you reduced your pastor's salary by 75%? I mean, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's four times. And if you're only having one of those four, that's 25%. So if you've called off the other three, surely you've reduced his compensation by 75% because he ain't doing the other three. He said, no, we've given them a raise. I said, well, I don't know. That doesn't make much sense. It's chaos. Chaos. Look, if you grew up and your mom and dad took you to church every time the door was open. And I know most of you here tonight, that's what happened. You went to church for Sunday school. You went to church on Sunday morning. You went to church on Sunday night. You went to church on Wednesday night. You came every time the door was open. Just think about the chaos that would exist in your life if we said, well, sorry, we're not going to meet on Sunday night. We're not going to meet on Wednesday night. We're not going to meet on Sunday morning for Sunday school. We're just going to have one service. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to come here. I want to come to a church that still meets Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for service, Sunday night for service, and Wednesday night for service. And by the way, if we added every other time we get together, we're meeting a whole lot more than just four times a week. I'm not going to let that... How can I have the peace of God in my life if I open my life up to that chaos that says I'm only going to come one time? I can remember when the kids were growing up, sometimes they were involved in things where the leaders of those things wanted to come them to come on Sunday. And I can remember, and Debbie was the one that carried the message, my wife, most of the time. She said, oh, no, they're not coming, sorry. And there were people that got mad at her. People that got mad at us because we wouldn't send our kids to things that happened on Sunday. And again, I'm not criticizing anybody tonight. I mean, that's between you and God. But that creates chaos. Because if you start crossing the line, if you start crossing the boundary that you draw for yourself, where does it end? Where does it end? I mean, if it's okay to miss church on Sunday morning for Cub Scouts, and if it's okay to miss church on Sunday morning for Girl Scouts, and if it's okay to miss church on Sunday morning for Little League, and if it's okay to miss church on Sunday morning for something else, where does it stop? Where do you draw the line? I just soon draw the lines. I ain't going to miss. If it's Sunday morning, I'm going to be in church unless I'm dead or dying. And again, if you're sick, you ought to stay home because we don't want to catch what you got. I got to hurry. I'm out of time. Number three. These two are more practical. Number three, live by a budget. You ought to have a budget. Everybody ought to have a budget. Nobody ought to spend more money than they're taking in. Nobody. Nobody has the right to spend money that you do not have any plan at all to pay back. It's just not, it's not godly. It's not Christian. You need to put together a budget. I'm taking this much in. I can spend this much. Say, preacher, I'm not taking enough in. Well, then figure out what you can cut so that you're spending what you take in. Just do it. And then number four, quickly, live by schedule. Live by a schedule. And again, you need to put in your schedule time to read the Bible. You need to put in your schedule time to pray. You need to put in your schedule time to work. You need to put in your schedule time to enjoy yourself. You need to put in your schedule time to be alone with your spouse. You need to put in your schedule time to spend with your kids. And you need to submit yourself to that schedule. Time unscheduled is chaos. Time without boundaries is chaos. How can you have the peace of God that passeth understanding if your daily routine is chaos? You cannot. You cannot. Everybody needs to have a schedule and live by that schedule. And again, God says in this verse, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Jesus is getting ready to come back. People need to see Christians. People need to see God's children that are living their life in order, that are living their life within a set of boundaries, that are living their life according to a plan, God's plan. That's what the world is looking for. There's enough chaos in the world. The world is not going to be attracted by Christianity that is characterized by chaos. It's going to be attracted by Christianity that lives by a disciplined life, a life that has boundaries, a life that has borders, and a life that is characterized by staying within those boundaries. The worst things that we can do as Christians is tell the world, this is what I believe, and then step over the line. This is what I believe, and step over the line. Pretty soon they're going to ask the question, and they're going to say, I don't know what you believe. Because you say one thing with your mouth, but you say another word with your action. You say another word, but you say another thing by what you do. The Lord's at hand. We need to be faithful. We need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to live a disciplined life within the boundaries that this book helps us draw in our life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And I pray tonight we would take this one verse, this one word, this word moderation, and understand what it means and live our life so that our moderation can be seen by all men. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, they can't know the peace of God that passeth understanding until they make peace with God. And the only way they can do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray if there's somebody here that's never received him, that tonight would be the night that they understand they're a sinner. Tonight would be the night they understand what the penalty of that sin is. Tonight would be the night they understand the price that was paid on Calvary's cross for their sin. And tonight would be the night that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, if there's just one here that's never done that, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their heart, you would speak to their mind, you would draw them to the Savior. Most of us here tonight are Christians. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work a work in our life tonight that needs to be worked. We're all in different places in our Christian walk. You know what we need. You know the next step that we need to take. Show us what that is. Help us to be obedient to take it in honor to you. Just bless this time of invitation. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.